Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastoma Vidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 78. Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. Because the soul is conscious itself, therefore it is conscious. Why is that? The sutra explains. It is called that because that is its essential nature. Right? The nature of the soul is consciousness. Right? In this sutra, the word guna, quality, refers to the soul's quality of consciousness. The word sara means the essential nature of the thing, the absence of which makes the thing non-existent. The word pragyavat means like Lord Vishnu, who is known as pragya, all-knowing, because he is all-knowledge. Right? So he's all-knowledge, he's all-knowing, and so like that means, you know, they'll be knowing. They won't be all-knowing, but they'll be knowing. Right? So the soul has consciousness because Krishna is the supreme consciousness. So like that.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? Footnote 45. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines the word pragya. Now let us consider these words of Aitareya Upanishad 1.5.3. Pragyanam Brahma. Brahman is consciousness. Here it is said that Brahman is identical with consciousness. The nature of consciousness is described in these words of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.21. Tam eva dhiro vigyaya pragya kurvita brahmana. A wise man who understands the supreme falls in love with him. End quote. Here the word pragya does not mean merely consciousness. Here it means love and devotion. Jiva Dharma, chapter 18, right? So everything will function because there is consciousness, right? And being conscious, then you're going to be conscious of the Lord. So then you're going to be Jai Ho. You have come on official business, on just coming to get the good vibes, just to see if we're even still here and that. And, wow, 9 years, still here.
I just wanted to just make a very short announcement, Maharaj, because I'm sorry to take time from the class, but it's very hard to catch everybody otherwise.
Okay.
So, regarding the essays, apologies for these hiccups you haven't been receiving for a long time. So, I've talked with Arthur before yesterday. So, he was quite caught up with the new services and everything, so it was a little difficult for him. But he will start, he said, from this week. In a week, there's a couple of essays will start coming back. Then in a month, he will be here in Mayapur. And then we will have a seat together. And a couple of members of VA has agreed to help. We will create a little bit bigger group, Pandava Prabhu, Kananachala Prabhu, perhaps one or two more people, and then we can divide the service, then it will become much, much easier. So hopefully that will be over soon, and then you will get regularly updated your essay. So that's just what I wanted to say about.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask also if you like the wall.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah? Donald Trump talks about building the wall. We build them.
We built it. We put another brick in the wall. Yes.
Very nice. This reduces the noise.
Yeah, it reduces very much. Now when the trucks that go by, you can keep talking. Well, previously you couldn't. You had to stop talking.
Uh-huh.
So it does. It does really good.
That's really good. Okay. Sorry. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. It was supposed to have come yesterday. He had arranged that he'll come and plug it in. You know, one speaker will sit there, one speaker over here, and then we have the microphone on the stand. It's like that, what the brahmacharis have in their class. You know, there's that little stand with that funny long thing, the little dinky mic. In the temple class, the Bengali class, they use it. No, there's no big stand and all that. It's a little dinky thing. It's supposed to be a better quality than this.
Yeah, that's a better quality.
Yeah, like that. So it's here in Mayapur.
In another 9 years, he will come to announce it.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it just took forever to actually get it. Now they have it. Now that's just a matter of getting it over here. Okay. So does that make sense? So all these things. The word always means more than just you're using it in a specific context, so that's how it's being used. But there's more to it. Because if you're conscious, then what does that mean? You're conscious, so therefore, then there's, you understand relationships, therefore there's interaction, all these different things come. Does that make sense? Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about Niyamagraha. So we just think, you know, of either rejecting the rules because you don't understand them, or you accept the rules, but you only think the rule is the real thing. Right? So that's generally how we deal with Niyamagraha. So that's the face of it. You know, just like the face of pragyam is consciousness. But he points out is that the difficulty, why it's a problem, because otherwise, okay, someone's rejecting and someone's accepting. What's wrong with that? Because it means that they won't progress in Krishna consciousness. The one won't follow the rules to progress, so that means they haven't accepted the rules of progression, so they'll stay on that level, whatever that is. And the other one's accepted the rules, so those rules, but they won't get farther than that platform of accepting those rules. You understand? So it's not progressive. That's the problem with Niyamagraha.
Because they criticize?
No. Niyamagraha means that you, let's say there's some rule, you know, in the traditional rule, but you don't understand what's the purpose of the rule, so you don't follow it.
You don't follow it.
Yeah. And the other one is they accept the rule, and they think just that following the rule, that's what makes bhakti. You know, so they're not seeing the primary. They're both seeing the secondary. One's accepting the secondary, one's rejecting the secondary. But the problem is neither of them are actually seeing the primary, so therefore they won't progress forward nicely. That's the difficulty with Niyamagraha. So, yes?
Maharaj, we mentioned this several times, Niyamagraha. So what holds a devotee, those who do accept the rule but don't understand the higher meaning of the rule, what holds them from, you know, going to the next level?
Because they don't know the next level exists.
Oh.
It's just like, let's say, the example is given. Let's say, just take a natural point of Niyamagraha, Varnashram. Right? So some will accept it and they follow it, but they think it's the Varnashram that's making bhakti. Well, the other one doesn't understand Varnashram, so they reject it and don't follow it. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then the difficulty comes is that the one doesn't have the platform to purify themselves to the, you know, situate themselves in goodness so they can take full advantage of Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? So whatever Vaidhi Bhakti they're doing, they're going to advance from that, but the platform they're doing it from is not strong. Yeah. Right, it's speculative, right? Because if you don't accept religion, only the philosophy, it's mental speculation. Therefore, we speculate over this and that. Should we do this? Should we do that? But it's the contemporary age. Why should we do? You know, that's archaic. All this kind of speculation goes on. So, therefore, those areas that those things are assisting in, you'll get no benefit from. And because of this doubt, you're not really applying yourself to the positive aspect of the process. You're trying to avoid the process. And the other one, they're accepting that aspect of the process, but they're just accepting the secondary. So that you would then, as you progress, because the Varnashram then acknowledges your material attachments and engages the senses. So that's not a problem. But the point is how much attachment is there? So now I accept Varnashram, I'm functioning within it, but am I addressing my attachment? I may be engaging my attachment, but am I addressing it? So I'll be thinking, you know, I have the family, I'm doing my duties, I have my job, I'm my money, I'm doing this at the time, that, and so I'm good. Mm-hmm. So they won't progress past that. They'll move very slowly.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Well, the other one is not really well situated at all. You know, so what direct activities, you know, the five main direct activities they're doing, they're getting benefit from that, but no indirect, really. Well, the other ones, they'll be doing the, you know, the direct activities, but the indirect, that aspect, they're following the rules, but they're not necessarily seeing it in the context of Krishna. You understand?
Yeah.
So it slows down the process.
I'm not clear on the point, addressing and engaging, isn't it the same?
Huh?
You mentioned addressing the problem or engaging the problem. For example, we can engage, you know, whatever we have, but we're not addressing that problem. So what does that mean?
Let's say one has attachment to eating. Okay? So you cook whatever you're eating, you want to eat, and offer it to Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? So then that's purifying. Yeah. You know, you're taking prasad. But the point that you're not addressing is it about you or is it about Krishna? You're willing to connect your attachments to Krishna, but are you moving forward that it's about Krishna? That you're cooking to please Krishna? Because in here you're cooking to please yourself, but you're including Krishna, so it's progressive. But the problem is it'll be very slow because you're not aware of that it should be about Krishna. And so you're not contemplating that, or, you know, it's just I'm following the rule, that's good enough. Or, you know, or the other one is, oh, don't be fanatic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty, is you're not seeing that rules are there. Their following of the rules are for the purpose of supporting bhakti. Not that it itself is the bhakti.
Yeah.
Right? Taking that rule and engaging in Krishna's service, that's the bhakti. But if we just think just following the rule is the bhakti, then we're not actually, that's what I'm saying, we're not actually addressing the real element here. It's close.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense yet?
Yes, it makes sense.
You know, so like that, whatever's the area. You know, involved with the family or involved with, you know, management, and you're in control and, you know, the respect and all that. You're engaging in Krishna's service, but you're not addressing, you know, the aspect of I'm trying to control things, or, you know, the prestige of it or the facility I get from it. You know, is it being done just for Krishna, or is it being done because of those benefits I get? The Dhanam Janam Sundarim aspect.
Yes.
You understand? So you're not moving forward. You'll progress, but it'll be slower than you could progress if you were actually aware of it. Right? Because when you're aware of something, then the opportunities to apply that, when they come up, then you can take them, or at least contemplate them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say you take the management. And, you know, you're there, you're senior, you know, you have lots of experience. And then some younger manager makes a point. And it may be a good point, but at the same time it contradicts your point, how you've always been doing it. So now, if you go with their point, it looks bad for you. So you may oppose it, even though it might be good.
Yeah.
Because of your prestige. But now, if you're aware of that prestige is not the point we're doing, we're trying to please Krishna, so therefore then the management is there to hold it together, and that, you know, there's the cooperation. And so then he comes up with a point, even though he's new, it's a good point. So therefore it's contemplated, and it's seen the viability and you know, the application and all that kind of thing. And so it's not, your prestige is not a point.
Yes.
So knowing that prestige shouldn't be there, then when the opportunity comes up to not apply your prestige,
yes,
you will you'll make the attempt. You know, you might grumble a little bit, or this or that, but at least you're trying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're aware of it, so you're progressing a little forward. Then, by keeping on doing that with practice, because it's sadhana, then at one point, then that cooperative spirit and whoever has a good idea, then that's what you deal with. You know, or that, you know, standard combination, whatever. That, then, that becomes the platform. Therefore, you give up this idea that I'm a senior manager. You move from that platform. That was the lower platform. There's, I'm a senior manager and I'm doing this for Krishna. That's your platform. Now it's like, it's not about me being a senior manager. It's just doing things for Krishna. You give up that identity as a senior manager. And then you move to the next platform. In other words, you're situated in one platform. And you're solid in that platform. That's the point of the rules, is so you can be solid. Right? Because if you speculate, you'll never be solid in anything. So then, except speculation. Yeah. But then you may not even be completely committed to that, because if you bring it up, no, we're not speculating. You know, so then you try for the higher levels. You know, it's like the inchworm. It's on one leaf solid. It puts the front foot down on the next leaf. When that's solid only, then it picks up the back one. So you're on this one solid, you start practicing the next one.
Yeah.
And as that one becomes, you know, the standard, and that becomes solid, you have to give up the last one. Because if you keep holding on to that, you won't progress. You know, that's what probably gives the example of the wedding party in the boat. You know, rowing the boat, they're going all night while they sleep, but they don't get anywhere because the anchor. So that's the thing. You have to give up the lower attachments, and move forward to the next level. Then you are solid there. So you don't go quicker than you can go, but you don't go slower than you can go. Because if you go quicker, you'll go up, and like if you throw a ball and it'll come back down. Right?
Yeah.
Like that. And then you'll come up, oh, no one can do that, this, that, I'm being practiced, you know, all that kind of jazz. So you don't go faster. But you also don't go slower. Otherwise, Lord Chaitanya, when he says he's given one lifetime, means you can do it if you're always trying to be progressive. Right? Means you're trying, not whether you are. But if you're thinking, my position is okay, I'm fine, then you might not progress nicely. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you always have to have that balance. You're trying your best, and then, you know, as it goes, it will go. Is, you know, it's all up to the Lord's mercy. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, can we say that devotees feel trapped after 20, 30 years of practicing because they follow the rules, but there is no next step of understanding the primary?
There's no next understanding. It means the understanding's there, it's a matter of just taking it. That means that you're not looking. It's like, we go to Bhagavatam every day, but are you listening or are you texting? You know, are you contemplating what's being said? Or you're thinking about some other, you know, like, you know, today you got to take the kid to the dentist and all that, and then, you know, where are we going to park, and that place is this and that, so then should we do that? Maybe we should take the train, you know. Is that what we're doing? Or are we listening and trying to know? Are we studying the books? Are we, you know, applying ourselves in the chanting? You know what I'm saying? Are we doing that and therefore moving forward? Or is that we're on this platform and that? Because the only one to trap yourself is yourself. You know? Does that make sense? You know, if you feel a hand around your throat, if you check, it's your own arm. Like, you know, but it happens, you know, when it comes to... Yes.
Like some devotees, they comment that the Vaidhi actually is not very progressive. The rag is actually progressive. But we know from the scripture, Vaidhi takes us to Vaikuntha, so we can't really comment like that.
Since when does Vaidhi take you to Vaikuntha? Vaidhi takes you to Bhava. Bhava takes you to Prema.
Yeah.
See, it's Aishwarya takes you to Vaikuntha, sweetness takes you to Braj.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mood. It's not the process. Process is kriya, right? Jnana is the sweetness or majesty. The two different shaktis. They say, know your shaktis. Right? So it just makes it too easy. Oh, it takes you... But rag, it's not something you can practice. It's something that happens. By the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the Guru, by the removal of previous obstacles. How is it Jarabharata is so advanced? Right from birth. How is he so advanced?
From previous birth.
Right. But what was the problem? He was an Uttamadhikari as Bharat Maharaj.
Yeah.
Then there's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? So when that problem's removed, it goes back. So you'd say that's the third aspect. There's an obstacle. There's something that's there. That's removed. Then you come to that, whatever is that natural place. You're at a place, you went down, and then you come back. So that's why you see if they just move, someone suddenly moves like that or something like that. This sudden movement, it's either by mercy of Krishna, mercy of Guru, or removal of an obstacle. Mm-hmm. So where in that is there something for you to do? Other than the practices of Vaidhi. Right? You're going to say Krishna's mercy. How are you going to get that? By performing your Vaidhi Bhakti. Mercy of Guru. How are you going to get that? By Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? How are you going to remove that obstacle? Through Vaidhi Bhakti. So the difficulty comes down is that rag is dealt with as if it's its own category. But it's still sadhana bhakti. They always say Vaidhi Bhakti. Why not use the word sadhana bhakti? That's actually what's being practiced. We're doing it because it's the rules. Now, where do they get this idea that the Vaidhi is here and that rag is better? Where is that from? They just found it in a fortune cookie. They were just down at their local Chinese shop and it just came up and about, you know, you're stuck in Vaidhi. You know, you should go for rag. You know, or Vaidhi takes you to Vaikuntha, rag takes you to Goloka, and that's what the fortune cookie said. Where did they get this? Where does this knowledge come from?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the problem. Okay, so it comes from Shastra, no?
Yes.
So then, now the definition of Vaidhi Bhakti over rag Bhakti is you're doing it because the Shastra said so. Yeah. So then, they're saying that rag is better and we should do that and Vaidhi. They're saying that in the mood of Vaidhi. They'll think that they're talking rag. They're not talking rag. Rag means you like to do it. That's the only difference. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, let's say... You come to the temple late, there's nothing really much left to eat, there's a little bit of cold dal, you know, and half a chapati. Okay? You have to eat, so you eat. Right? Right? Okay. Now let's say you come, and there's, you know, fresh, hot, you know, something that you specifically really like. So now is it a matter of just Vaidhi that you're eating? Or is there a natural spontaneity?
It's natural.
That's rag. That's it. But the point is, in a sense, we may only have rag connected to Krishna in connection to eating things we like. And outside of that, the other, you know, how you say, 23 hours and 50 minutes, we don't have rag. We're not counted on the platform of rag because it's so small compared to the rest of it. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because what you call it rag because it's prominent.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, therefore, that's what rag is. But it's hard to digest that because people want it to be something different. it's a different sadhana, it's a different thing. So then you're part of something that no one else knows about. And then, you know, in other words, the prestige about it and the laziness about it. It's just easy. So in other words, the combination of passion and ignorance makes us think that rag is a different system. But goodness is, it's whatever it is, you do what you should do. Like this. Let us say, okay, just for example, there is a particular individual. They are at the kunja of Radha and Krishna. Okay? Radha and Krishna are inside whatever the pastimes, they're just sitting there. But it's a private thing.
Yeah.
Right? And so this particular individual is pulling on the rope that fans them. And they're very happy doing that. Okay? Now, then Rupa comes and says, leave the fan, go pick flowers. Okay? Now, should you, on that rule that you've been told to leave, should you do that? Would that be Kalvaiti? Because I like the fan, so I'm going to stay here and fan, and that's rag, so it's higher, so I don't have to listen to Rupa. You understand? That's what we're dealing with here. It sounds fabulous, what they're saying, but it has zero basis in reality. Because there's nothing to do. Point is you'll always be following what you should do. But the point is do you want to? Rupa gives an order. Do you want to follow that? That's rag. Or it's like, yeah, I guess I should. They're the boss and they kind of know what to do. And they're closer to Krishna. And I mean, you know, being that personal assistant to Radharani, she should know what's kind of happening, what pleased Radharani. So therefore, I guess I should do it. When you have to use the intellect, that's called vaidhi. When there's no intellect, you just naturally, spontaneously do it. That's called rag. The thinking is, I'm going to get all these hormonal feelings of, you know, that's rag. No, that's called hormones. You understand? Because, you know, when you feel fear, you feel this, you feel, those are all hormones. And generally the same hormone, just depending on the situation, you call it happiness or distress. You know, same old thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say, it's super hot outside, you know, and I give you a cold drink. You know, you're in ecstasy. You know, it's super cold outside, you come in, all I have is a cold drink. Now you're not. It's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So, the intellectual process in between having the opportunity being there than having to use the intellect to accept the opportunity, that's called vaidhi. That the opportunity comes, you immediately take it, that's called rag. People don't like this definition because they want it to be a separate system. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, Rupa Goswami, they all define it in this way. Those who have connection with, you know, various Babaji's here and there, they won't use that. They don't like that one. They'll say it's a different thing when it's not. And they'll define something different, but that differentness means it's something you have to do and accept. And from based on Shastra. So by that other definition of Vaidhi, based on Shastra, it's the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the difference. You know, it's just like if I say you should read every day, you know, the scriptures, mm-hmm. or no, you have to read every day, you know, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. What's the difference in it being a ruler? Mm-hmm. Right. You want to read and you like reading those. That's where it is. But the point is that you want to hear and chant about Krishna. That's the actual rag. And so if it's about Krishna, you're good. That's why you see is these Paramahamsas are talking these things at the end of 12th canto. And for them, it just reminds them of Krishna and Braj. You know what I'm saying? Because you could say, oh, that's this and that. Remember who's talking. Sukadev, how does he get the name? Right? Sukha. Where does that? And where do we hear about parrots? Right? In Krishna's pastimes or in Vaikuntha? Have we heard of any parrots in Vaikuntha? No. You don't hear any description, you never hear about parrots. Not saying that there aren't, but you never hear about it. And in Vrindavan, do we hear about parrots? Lots of pastimes are connected with parrots. Does that make sense? So, if Radharani's parrot is talking about 11th and 12th canto, are they remembering Radha Krishna, or are they totally absorbed in Vaikuntha? It's not a trick question.
They should remember, of course.
Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that someone on that platform, everything reminds them of Krishna. That's the whole teaching that's coming out. We start seeing from the 87th chapter of the 10th canto. Something like that. And already in the opening, before Krishna appears, the prayers of the demigods, they say the same thing. So it's that you have to know it's all Krishna. Therefore, everything reminds them of Krishna. Does that make sense? So, this idea is that no, you're only talking about Radha and Krishna, and you're only reading these books, and you're only doing that, and you wear this kind of tilak, and you wear that kind of chadar, and you do this kind of, how you say, acha, and all that kind of stuff. Bhavananda used to call them chadar acha wallas. Because everything, acha, 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 you know, like that. And they always had a chadar, like that. Nowadays, I don't know if they bother with the achas and chudders like that. But.
Maharaj, the idea that these people have about raga, that it has to be practiced, like, you know, reading this Ashtakali lesson, is all wrong.
Because it's all wrong, yes. It's all wrong. The point is what where do these things come in? Right? In other words, just reading it, anybody can read it. So what makes it a practice? That you're reading it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's that you're able to function on that platform.
And why do they say that by reading it regularly, daily, we naturally develop raga, because in that attraction develops
peace? Yeah, but then you could read anything spiritual and develop raga. Point is, Why would that develop rag and not reading Bhagavad Gita? You're associating with Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Why wouldn't it develop rag?
It should develop rag, but they are more interested in the specific than in.
Yeah, the whole point is they're thinking only if you hear about this, then it will develop rag. That's all. This is old stuff. It's always been there. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years old stuff. That's new to them. They'll think it's there. Even in Prabhupada's time, they called it the Gopi Baba Club. You know? Sorry? In Los Angeles, when Prabhupada was there. And it came up, Prabhupada dealt with it. And it came up a couple of times when Prabhupada was here.
And why do they blame ISKCON as such, that ours is a Shiksha Pranali and that has been broken? Because of the initiation that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took, you know, in a way which is so unusual, and this is Diksha Pranali. So this is again a big thing that.
What Diksha was Siksha Pranali means? Dikshas are always there. The thinking when it's a Siksha Pranali doesn't mean that you don't take Diksha from somebody. It's not necessarily that the person you take Diksha from is the main one who's the Siksha. The point is, the Siksha is the main element of Diksha. While they taking it, just the Diksha element is the main point of Diksha. So the point is that he didn't break the Siksha line. It's just that they all took Diksha from somebody. Right? Is it Narottam Das Thakur from Lochan Das Thakur, no? Is it? Narottam Das Thakur. Who is his Diksha Guru?
Lokanath.
Lokanath. Yeah, something with an L. We're always in the ballpark. Something with an L, something with an M. So Lochan Das Thakur. Who did he study under?
Jiva
Goswami. Right? Rupa Goswami's there. But he studied under Jiva Goswami. So that's the point of Siksha. Right. And Jiva Goswami is not initiated by Lokanath or by that before. He's initiated by Lord Chaitanya. So the point is Diksha is always there, but it's the emphasis is on the Siksha. So the easiest is your Diksha Guru is your Siksha Guru. But the point is you should have Diksha, you should have Siksha. That's the whole point. So there's no breaking of this. They just say all this stuff so they can feel good about themselves. But the point is why associate with such people? That's the main thing.
What? You can say, for example, if we take material example, we want to develop something like new parents. You know, they all into books about kids, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps.
Mm-hmm.
So taking the same line of thoughts, if you want to develop something specific, so you use specific literature. Therefore, the broad Vedic literature, even our literature...
So does those books talk about taking care of their kid or talk about taking care of kids?
Kids. It's a
yeah, so it's generic. Mm-hmm. So the point is you have to study things that talk about developing pure devotion. Mm-hmm. Then your specific place, and that's generic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The point is the Sahajiyas have turned, as we said, they've shifted Varnadas down to Shravanadas. You first, if you're not a servant of Krishna, you're not on the platform of pure devotion, how can you take advantage of those things? You know what I'm saying? That in your reading of the Bhagavatam, you go through the Panchajaya. It's the natural course of reading. But if you only read those, you know, as sadhana, then what's the point? You know, because why, when can you take advantage of it? When the heart's pure. Now all those other demons, they all purify the heart. That's why they're all there in the pastimes. Because if that was the thing, do they ever talk about that as a main thing? Does anybody talk about that? Mm-hmm. It's mentioned on advanced levels, but the point is if you're an Uttamadhikari on that platform, if you're liberated, then the aspect of focusing on the Astakaliya Lila and on your particular position in the pastimes then has a validity because you're already liberated. But if you're below bhava, you have to follow sadhana bhakti, vaidhi. And vaidhi has its method. There is no separate method. Because the point is we know that the goal is serving Radha and Krishna. But if you have to say that every moment, then how strong is your faith? You know what I'm saying? So it becomes an identity to them. And then if you're not that and it's your identity, then what is that? You know, it's like the guy who thinks he's really cool, you know, he's high-fiving everybody and everybody wishes he'd go away. So that's what the Brajbasis think about that kind of people. Literally. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that in Raghavartma Chandika. They don't want to have anything to do with these people. Because they just walk in like, wow, yeah, hey, here I am, you know, hello, you know, like that. It's kind of like, you know, somebody left the door open. You know what I'm saying? So, this is the whole thing. Yes, it's there. Just like, okay, for the 5-year-old kid, are they going to get married? Right? Are they going to have kids? Having kids, what are they going to do? Is there a process? Okay, shall we discuss that process now when they're 5? Hmm?
Better not.
Okay, so that's what we're dealing with here. So what kind of people that at 5 years old they're looking at all these girly magazines? Right? So that's what we're talking about here. Literally. You know, so this whole thing, preaching it and all that, it's not. It's a matter of it happens. And if it doesn't, don't worry about it. He says that. You'll follow the path of you can either follow, if rag happens in Madhyam platform, it never mentions it'll happen in the neophyte platform. Because neophyte by definition means prakriti. It's attached to material things. So the earliest it can happen is there. So it means after anartha nivritti. So that means you have to be stable in your service. And fixed in that. So that's the earliest you can start to see glimmering. But we see Lord Brahma, he knew his position as a maidservant of Krishna. But did he know details? No. He just knew that much. That's how much you can know at the Madhyama platform. But this whole thing, you all know the whole Ekadas Bhav and all this and that. That's, if you're not Uttama, what can you do with it? You know? Does that make sense? Here's the 4-year-old girl. You're going to pull out the 34 double D bra and say, well, in the future you're going to be wearing this. So maybe you should try practicing wearing it now. You understand? We're dealing with some really, really weird stuff. But because people don't know anything about it, it sounds okay. But it's a matter of, if that comes up naturally, then it happens. They'll say, oh, it comes naturally. Then why are you talking about it? I'll give another example. Let us say we have a group of married women, right? They've been married, they have kids, they know what they're doing. And it's a group of that kind of women. Okay? Now, let's say we have a 13-year-old girl. Okay? What kind of instructions are they going to give that 13-year-old girl to prepare her for married life?
Practical.
Cooking, this, that, how to dress, how to behave, how to deal, the interaction with, relatives, how to deal with consideration of money, all these kind of things, right? These are the people who are there. Okay, now let us take some late teen girls who are, have boyfriends and are dabbling, considering. Now, what is their advice to the 13-year-old? Make yourself attractive, this and that. Hey, don't wear so much clothes. So, which one actually ends up in getting married? Right? Does that make sense? I think there was one of the Bollywood stars. You had the Bollywood people, and must have been some kind of interview. One of them was saying they were mentioned about one of the starlets that are there that had just come up, and it was a kind of combination between the different ones like that. And they were saying, it was Ronnie and someone else. You know who we're talking about? At least we're talking about Ronnie.
Ronnie Mukherjee.
Yeah, Ronnie Mukherjee. No? Okay. Okay, whatever it is, she's the more stable one. And then you have one of these other ones. I think it was Karishma or...
Karishma Kapoor?
Yeah. There's two of them, older sister, younger sister.
Yeah, Karina and Karishma.
Who's the younger one?
Karina,
yeah.
She's
so when she came up, she was big. So they were making the point is, Ronnie is the one you take home to your mother. Karina is the one you take to the Four Seasons Hotel. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah? No?
Yes.
Yes. So amongst those who are married, they'll understand what we're talking about. That's my point. So, therefore, the elder teenage girls, they're dealing in a way that has nothing to do with the reality of actually being married. But saying that, this is where it's at, this is the total thing, they'll talk all day about this guy and this one and that one, and like that, while the, married women are thinking about something else. The practical relationships and stuff like that, right? And so, that's the whole point, is now, which path are you going to follow? How Prabhupada and the Acharyas talk about Vaidhi and Rag, or we're going to follow those who then follow in the lines of these Sahajis. You understand? So that's the thing. An individual is on that platform. They practice at that platform. That's their sadhana. It has nothing to do with anybody else. So an individual may be at that platform. Great. But you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur point, you can't depend upon it. You follow Vaidhi. If you're not on Rag, you follow Vaidhi. But in any case, the form of sadhana bhakti will look exactly the same. So now they are able to appreciate these, they enhance their, then that's something they do. They don't talk about it. Just like the married ladies aren't going to talk about all the intimate dealings they have with their husbands to the teenage girls. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is, it's not going to happen. So that's the way it is. So we have to be very, very clear. Yes, it's totally bona fide. But bona fide when you're at that particular level. It's like saying, is quantum physics, is it bona fide in the mathematics circles? Right. Yes, but if you're in third grade, you know, you're having enough trouble just with the, you know, how you say nine numbers with zero, let alone all the E's and this and that and, you know. You understand? I mean, when you get up there, most of the things on the board are letters or other symbols. There's a very few numbers. You know, so it's just, you know, don't worry. Yes, it's bona fide. Totally. But it's something that if it's there, you do. But if it's something you sit and talk about and it's, you know, the latest thing on Facebook, it's like, no. You shouldn't be dealing with that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole difficulty, is that, yes, it's bona fide, but bona fide for who? And the point is given. When you're dealing on that level, anartha nivritti, as Rupa Goswami defines it, he means being freed from the material covering. So you're liberated. Right? Where you deal with the specifics. And having the idea of the generic, that there's a flavor, there's a mood. Right? That can happen after anartha nivritti in the Madhyama platform. The details, no. If you're saying, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, then that's bogus. Because you're not. Who asked you to go down to the Jamuna and get water? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. It's not. You have to understand is that there are levels. So inspiring you to follow. So we want to skip the Vaidhi and go straight to that. Are we going to get there? No. Someone who's willing to follow the Vaidhi and all that. But like Raghunath Das Goswami's sadhana, what is the definition of that? The explanation of his Raghunath Das Goswami sadhana.
Lines
on a stone. Now, according to these people, that would be
Vaidhi.
And he's going to Vaikuntha, right? So he's there at Radhakund. He's absorbed in chanting and all that. And it's hot outside. And so he's just sitting there next to the bank of Radhakund at Janava Baitak, right? And he's chanting, and Radharani comes and holds her veil, you know, so it shades him from the sun. And then after some time, a tiger comes along and thinks, well, not so tasty morsel, but better than nothing, right? You know, like that, you know, because it's like a Bengali, date. It's a seed with a little bit of skin on it, right? But the tiger must be hungry, so like that. And then Krishna comes along and tells the tiger, go away from here. Right? And so that's right in the center of Vaikuntha, right? So this is the problem, is that when someone gets a material definition of a word and can't see the broadness of it, like we see here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out, it doesn't just mean consciousness. The word here, pragya, does not mean merely conscious. It means consciousness. And so in this context, it's being used as consciousness. But here it means love of devotion. Love and devotion. That's how you should understand, is that the jiva has that natural position of love and devotion. Because that's what the Upanishads is saying.
That's from Jaiva Dharma footnote. Last line.
Yeah, but Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. A wise man who understands the Supreme falls in love with him. That's Upanishad. That's Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Right? And it's saying that. So all these things are being said. It's just the Bhagavatam brings it out. It's the natural commentary. It shows the full extent. Does that make sense? But if all we know is the dictionary, all we know, especially if all we know is Moni or Williams, then the problem is we're going to say it just means that. It means all these things. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that as one matures, one sees the deeper meanings, the deeper understandings. But just because one sees, one doesn't go out and tell everybody. Because that means then that it's just an enthusiast. It's not very mature. You understand? and then saying it's preaching. No, it's not. There's no such thing. When devotee said, you know, wanted to do something at Radhakund, he says, what you'll do there? He said, preaching. The Prabhupada says, no, you don't preach at Radhakund, you taste at Radhakund. So if you're not on the platform of tasting, then you just go there for pilgrimage and leave. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So that's the whole thing.
Maharaj, why devotees, you know, they have so much of confusion regarding this Vaidhi and Raga. Is that Vaidhi is so much been discussed and it's most prominent and it's very natural. But Raga, even if the devotees are on the Raga platform, they never tell that they are on the Raga platform or they are developing the moments of Raga. That is not being shared. That's why devotees feel that, well, whether this exists or not, and that is why they know they are being deviated and somehow they fall into this particular trap.
Why would some? The point is it's mentioned in the Shastra. So what more do you need? It mentions prema. So do they have a? You know, why this plan? Why not a prema sadhana? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the whole point is that because prema means this love for Krishna, bhava means it's ecstasy. So I can roll on the ground and show I'm in ecstasy. You know, because it's about me. Prema means it's about Krishna. So, prema is mentioned so much of the time. We just know, okay, that's in the future. We're comfortable with that. But when you mention bhava, oh no, it's got to happen now. You know? Does that make sense? So the point is who talks about it? You know what I'm saying? You know, it says anything that you've done in this, you don't talk about it. It even says for the kings, they're making some special plans, they don't talk about it. Those people that have to know, those ministers, they know. No one else knows. So it's just the natural thing. Why would you talk about it? Why would you talk about it with someone who won't understand it? You say, oh, it'll be inspiring. Yeah, but they'll be inspired by anything. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Yes.
Yeah, in the text it was mentioned about pragya means all-knowing and also consciousness and also loving.
Intelligence also.
Yes, there are different...
Because these are all what's going on. Yeah. I mean, you're conscious, how do you know you're conscious? It's through the medium of the intelligence. Right? Because through the intelligence you see through the senses.
Yes.
Right, so the consciousness reflecting on the intelligence reflects onto the object, and that way you can see it.
Yes.
Right? Yes. You specifically see. Krishna always sees, because he is all these things.
Yes.
But that's how, so you could refer to it at any of these levels.
Okay, yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that, yes, people don't talk about it. Why should they talk about it? You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's just.
If our knowledge is at the same, realized knowledge is according to our consciousness.
Yes.
We are. There is no problem at that level.
Means you know about the levels above, but you know about yours and you function at yours. You're inspired to go to these higher levels because you're there.
Yes, yes.
So to say here's, oh, because we don't hear about it, we're not inspired. Shastra talks about it all the time.
Yes.
Like that. So if they're not inspired, it means they're not inspired. But it's not that, oh, people gotta talk about it to make it inspired. So that's the thing, is because if we're taking it like this, we're taking it as an external aspect or a secondary. So why is talking about the secondary what's going to inspire us?
Yes.
But especially when we're trying to present it as if it's the primary. Because you say, oh no, but I gotta read the Astakalya Leela and this and that. Who's it about? You or Krishna? Krishna is doing these pastimes. Like that, but is it about Krishna, or are you inspired because you like reading it? Okay, nice.
Yes.
Like that. And then you think, well, you do this, you do that, but where's Krishna in this? Oh, I'd like to do that, but is it, I want to please Krishna by doing that? They're two different things.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, the boy says, "Ooh, I'd like to hang out with that girl." Is that the same as you want to please that girl?
No.
That's the point. So that's what we're saying is most of this, when they're talking about these aspects of rag, it's about themselves. It's not about Krishna. It's not about pleasing Krishna. You know, and then there's always the thing is, oh, I know this, you don't know. And so therefore the prestige is also there. Because we're unique, we're in a special club. But the point is you want people to know you're in that club. You know, what we see is, Rupa Goswami says people who are in that club, they present themselves as neophytes, right? The neophytes are neophytes. They may try to present themselves wherever they like. The madhyamas generally are madhyamas like that. But the uttamas present themselves as neophytes. They may perform the activity of the madhyama, and they'll do it the best. But they'll present themselves as a neophyte. You know, it's like that time in the airport. So many devotees were there and this and that. And then the airport authorities came over, like whoever it was, Shyamasundar or something, and said, you know, the devotees have to, you know, go sit over here. Too many of you are blocking the aisle, right? And so then he stood up on one of the little tables and said, all the devotees have to move over there. Prabhupada immediately stood up. He didn't think, well, was that me or that? Well, I'm the guru and all. So what do you... He just immediately stood up. He said, all devotees. He moves.
And that's the rest of the old Puri.
Huh?
Old Puri Maharaj, remember? When devotees command, I shall obey.
I shall?
The old Puri Maharaj, that was over 100 years old, and he was sitting, he had a room upstairs.
Right.
And always prasadam was brought there, and then he was sitting there with some other devotees, and then one of the servants came and said that, please come downstairs to the devotees. Prasadam is ready. And he tried to stand up and go. He said, Maharaj, but not for you. And he said, but when devotees obey, I shall. Like, when devotees command, I shall obey.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's the point. Is that that's the position. So this idea that, no, it's all this advanced. No, it's that those who are advanced don't. So that's why you see is that those who are on the platform of raga, they don't talk about it. That's just the way it works. Right? We don't hear, like that, there's that one example that Rupa Goswami, one time you saw ecstatic symptoms. I think it was a reading of Gopal Bhatta Goswami was reading Bhagavatam and some particular verse and he fell on the ground. You know, next they might have just thought he fell because he's never shown any, so they thought maybe he's sick of that. But the devotee, he was on the ground, you know, where he fell, you know, his ankle was just next to his mouth, and his breathing, the air was so hot, it burnt his ankle. Then they understood it was some ecstatic symptom. But that was one example. Right? So that's, the mountain in the ocean, that's the example, that's the best. Right? Then there's the pebble in the pond, and then there's the you know, cotton wool and the breeze. This whole thing you have to show and this and that. No, the acharyas, they don't show. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, having a standard that they should show, that's not a standard. Someone may show, but the point is that it's about not showing. You know, and if you say no, but they should show, it's like, well, shall we talk about what you had for dinner last night? You know, in other words, the same questions they ask. Was it Mark Zuckerman? Then you know, is that how it's going down? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is that it's not about that, and no one can demand that. It's not your business. Does that make sense? Who says Vedanta Sutra is boring? Yes.
It seems that this idea that we follow special sadhana and we get the special result of that sadhana is coming from that statement is that Mahaprabhu, he actually gave us what was never given before.
Yes.
So.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that how you get it's not the same. You do work, and you'll get that result. You do work, plus you'll get a bonus. How do you get? Can you? Is there a separate work to get the bonus only?
I guess you have to do the main job.
Right. So that's called Vaidhi Bhakti. The main job is Vaidhi Bhakti. And if spontaneity comes up naturally, great. It's fabulous. But you can't depend upon it. It's not a sadhana. There is no place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly says, if someone says, I'll tell you how to do this, he says, they're bogus. You can't define it. You can't describe it because it's the experience of it. So you can't tell how to get it because it's the experience. You can't say how to get it, prema. You'll do this and you'll get prema. No, it's that you follow the process. That's why I said automatic. Because we're looking at it. See, another aspect is we're looking at it from the platform of karma. I do good work, I get good results. So I do rag bhakti, I get rag. Right? But then the whole point is that it's been, Prabhupada and the Acharyas have pointed out that you, by your efforts, you can get yourself through the Madhyama platform.
Yeah.
But for the Uttama platform, that's only by Krishna's mercy. You're invited.
Yes. Yes.
So then, what sadhana can you do that will make that happen? You understand? You can only do that which will please Krishna, which means performing your natural duties.
Yes.
Krishna always says that. And when Krishna comes, he does that. When the Acharyas come, they do that. So this idea that there's something separate is actually coming from karma. It's karma mistra bhakti. It's being said it's rag. No, it's karma mistra. Because they're thinking, my karma is going to create bhava.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Bhakti is independent.
Okay.
So pure devotion, that will generate bhava. But you have to practice pure devotion. How do you get to that? That's the whole point. Does that make sense? That rag in a particular, that's a detail. You have to get to pure devotion. Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say, I want to get to a particular place in Calcutta. Okay? Now, I'm here in Mayapur. What's the first step? Is there something that means I could go out the front gate, get on the bus that will take me to, you know, Esplanade. And then from there I can get on another bus or something else that will take me to the place I want to go.
Yeah.
So, now, having said that, now if we say that's Vaidhi, that's sadhana bhakti or that's Vaidhi bhakti, now is there a separate one that will get me straight from here, straight to that place?
Helicopter.
Helicopter, okay. And what will you have to pay?
5,000 rupees.
That's all?
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's per seat.
Yes, yeah, full seat, 5,000.
And I'm sure if it's not full, then...
Two seats.
Two seats, okay, great.
Without luggage.
Without luggage. Or one, or you, the seat, and your luggage. So 10,000 rupees, you and your luggage. So, you understand? Now, what happens if that place happens to be in Butter Bazaar?
Yes.
You know, you're going to, you know, Amarnath Misra.
I don't know where it is, but you're not flying.
Tiwaris?
You're not flying there.
Bertola Street? No? Too esoteric here?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you understand? So, the whole point is it's not a separate system. You have to get to Calcutta. Only when you're in Calcutta, then you can get to the specific place. So, only when you've come to the platform of liberation, what do you call it? Brahma-Bhuta. Now we can talk about, you know, then that mood there, now getting it to be specific. So, until you come to Bhava, how can it be specific? But, all the whole time is what inspires you to get to Calcutta is because you want to go to that particular place. So because you want to develop love for Krishna, That's why you're inspired to follow the process that will get you to bhava. And then in bhava, you'll follow, so you're inspired to get to prema. This idea that there's a shortcut. We already have the shortcut. And they want a shorter shortcut? You know, so that's the whole problem. That's why it's called cheap.
So Maharaj, then whatever pranalis they have, that is all bogus.
Whatever pranalis they have, who cares? What can you do with it? Like I said, you know, you have the double D bra, and you have the 4-year-old girl. What has it got to do with each other? You understand? We're literally dealing on that level. It's a bit crass, but that's what we're dealing with. We think it's cool. Right? You know, the 4-year-old goes, finds them in the attic, finds mommy's old, you know, high-heeled shoes and, you know, her wedding dress and everything else, and she puts it all on. But in reality, then, you know, it's not happening. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So we have to be very, very careful as to know what we're dealing with. If I say it's something else, okay, they're starting, for, you know, they're in third grade. You know, why don't we bring the 12th grade math books? I say, no, they're not on that level. Okay, then, okay, so Rag Bhakti. Oh, no, but we can do that now. What's the shortcut between third grade math and 12th grade math?
Genius.
Yeah, that's the whole point. It's just a unique exception that that person somehow or another has that mood of surrender. Like we hear of that devotee in Nectar Devotion who danced all night. And in the morning, they had developed love for Krishna. Right? But have any of us tried it? Now that's a shortcut. Are we trying it? No. You know, what about the Brahmana? He was meditating in that for years on his offerings to the Lord. You know, taking 2 hours to do all this puja. You know, we don't even want to take 20 minutes. But taking 2 hours, it was a wonderful, elaborate puja. And after 2 years, then, you know, he came to the platform of bhava or prema.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are the shortcuts. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing. He's given something that's never been given before. That simply means that the breja prema. Because no other acharya is given. Because breja is only accessible through a chinta beta beta tattva. While the others gave part. All of those other four will get you somewhere in Vaikuntha. Right? That includes lower Goloka. So Dwarka, Mathura, lower Vrindavan like that, Aishwarya Vrindavan like this. It'll get you all that. But it won't get you braj. So this is something that's not, chinta beta beta tattva is not being given. All these others, they're taking from the Veda, so they're complete. But they're not giving the full philosophy. So only a chinta beta beta tattva does that, because the way it holds it together, the same thing is one and different. But here it's just, no, you have to do it like this. It's not one and different. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what the acharyas give, that's what works. And, you know, someone as an individual is on an advanced platform, that's special. You know? It's just like at Jagannath Mandir, next to Lord Shiva. Right? We have... That Samadhi. Who's in the Samadhi? Jayananda. Now we see there, just by his behavior and qualities in that, you see all those 26 qualities of the devotee. So you know he's advanced. In fact, Prabhupada gave him Babaji. Right? So the point is that he, but in his dealings, he was just doing all the stuff that everybody else did. Like I was mentioning, we went there for the San Francisco Rath Yatra. You have 300 brahmacharis that are living in the temple, you know, that have come from all over America, and they have to take bath at one shower. He stood there and managed it. And not by, you know, the generalissimo is here. It was so pleasant and nice, you just wanted to be quick. In other words, you have 30 seconds, you wanted to take 20. Is that? Yes. And he do that. He do that. See the Pishad. See the Roth. He's right there at the Roth. So he's not leading the kirtan, he's not pulling the ropes, he's not up doing the puja, he's just down there steering the wheels. So, no, I guess it hadn't worked out then, steering wheels. So he could sit up on the top and be the big guy. And he was just down on the bottom, you wouldn't see him.
Yeah.
Right? So, that's advanced, but no one talks about it. You know, so here's opportunities to talk about it, but we're not talking about that. We just want to talk about that part that we're interested in. That's not very nice, because it's about Krishna. It's not about us. Does that make sense? So when it's acting at a platform higher than one is, then that means you'll fall to a lower platform than you're at. That's why it's dangerous. Does that make sense? So that's why it's just not recommended. You move at the platform you're at. And it works very nicely. That makes sense. So all these things are that those are the inspiration is the same sadhana that's there that others could get Vaikuntha, we're able to get Braj from it. So isn't that an inspiration? Why does it have to change it? You know, it's just like, okay, you're making a sandwich and someone's offering on the sandwich something that's not been there on the sandwich before. You just had some cheese and some salt. They're offering some mustard. Okay, so now you'll just take the mustard. What about no bread, no cheese? You know, there's a process. It matches. Does that make sense? It's in addition to. It's going further. So all these things it's not a problem. It's only when those who have come in contact with the Sahajiyas, they bring these things in. They bring in these doubts. Because that's the whole point. The Sahajiyas are trying to destroy the concept of the Sampradaya. Because then that makes them look good. Right? So they can sit around all day and with arguments against us. We never think about them, so that's why most devotees don't even know what to say. Because we can go our whole life and not deal with them. Well, their existence depends upon us not bothering them. Does that make sense? Yeah. We're good?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's the meaning of pragya. Right? Not merely consciousness. Here it means love and devotion. Jiva Dharma, chapter 18. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.